You're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, Chris. It all starts tonight.
What?
Cavs Warriors.
Cavs what?
Cavs Warriors. NBA Cavs? Finals.
Oh, NBA? Oh, that's the National Basketball Association?
Yes.
See, I knew that.
What's funny is that I realized when you were redoing that, we've done this before. When for some reason on this video game show, we've talked about basketball multiple times.
We have.
And you've always like National Basketball Association. Like, yeah. You say it really slow. Mm-hmm.
Just so I can remind myself. Because you have all these, sports leagues have their acronyms and stuff. I'm thinking, all right, I'll try to get this one. And I'm usually pretty good about that. So what sports or what basketball teams are playing against each other?
The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors play game one of the NBA Finals tonight.
Okay. You've been watching the NHL playoffs?
Chris. Huh? Chris.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Predators and Blackhawks.
Predators and Blackhawks. That is correct.
I at least know.
I remember. I just have to think about it. I occasionally pay attention. Like, oh, the Sabres there? Nope. Okay, I'm not going to do that.
Are they good? Do you know?
I don't know. Not at this point. I don't think. I used to watch with my dad a lot back in the day.
Yeah. Do you like hockey?
I like going to like hockey games and stuff. I mean, I don't watch it regularly. You know, but it's one of the few sports that I would go to like on a regular basis if I had like the money and stuff to pay for it.
Like, yeah. Tickets and things. I do like that. I do like that it's cold and baseball sucks. Shut up.
No, it's good. It's relaxing.
It's good. It's relaxing to be in this environment with like grass and stuff, mm-hmm. but then you realize, oh, I should probably watch this boring game that goes for 5 hours.
It goes a little too long.
It's the worst.
I'll agree to that.
But anyway, yeah, this is We Are Error, oneofus.net's premier video game podcast. It sounds so weird coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I was like, oh, am I going to do it? No, he's going to do it. All right, take the lead.
I am your host, John Roma.
And I am one of your other hosts, Christopher J. Herman. And we're here to talk about all kinds of video game news and nonsense, as we typically do, before getting to the main topic, which is pretty cool main topic today, because we're going to do our predictions for E3 2017. Now, what does E3 stand for?
Electronic Entertainment Expo.
That is correct.
I knew you'd get it.
Because you had to do it to me. I was like, okay. Yeah, I do back.
Hey, I like sports and video games. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. NBA 2K18, cover star Kyrie Irving.
I don't know what that is. But we're going to start with the news stories. Far Cry 5 is scheduled to launch February 27, 2018 on PlayStation 4, Windows PC, and Xbox One, and Ubisoft has revealed the first details about the game. As the new junior deputy of fictional Hope County, Montana, players will find that their arrival accelerates a years-long silent coup by a fanatical doomsday cult, the Project at Eden's Gate, igniting a violent takeover of the county. Caught off guard and drawn into a power struggle, players must disrupt the carefully laid plans of the Project of Eden's Gate and fan the fires of resistance to help liberate the Hope County community themselves. During their journey, players can fly planes to engage cult forces in aerial dogfights across Big Sky country, while tracking down cult members and gathering resources for survival across farmland, forests, mountains, and rivers. Players can get behind the wheel of iconic American muscle cars, big rigs, ATVs, and boats. It will be possible to play the campaign cooperatively online, and players will be able to create a custom character. Far Cry 5 also features the return of the Far Cry map editor, a feature that was originally introduced in Far Cry 2. Of course, they released a launch trailer for this, and they also like several kind of smaller character trailers where you see, I guess, some of the NPCs you'll be interacting with throughout the game.
Yeah.
I'm loving all of this so far. Clearly, Ubisoft is, I wouldn't say taking a risk, but they know they're inviting a lot of controversy with this game. Probably a lot of people are going to be upset. There's actually already an online petition that is telling them to cancel the game or to make a significant change. And it's one of those change, like, .org, whatever the website goes to. It's ridiculous. Give it a read, though. It's actually really, really funny.
Change what, though?
Just... I know. Clearly it's a very, you know, either racist or very conservative person that's upset that this game is making a critique on, like, nationalism and religion and that kind of thing. But despite all that, I'm just really excited for the game because it's just so different. It's something I just didn't expect. you know, the fact that we're going to be fighting a cult in, you know, in the US, I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
And, I just really like the idea, of the game also being being co-op online. I think that's interesting because that was always my problem with the Far Cry games is that their multiplayer functionality wasn't for me. Like mm-hmm. they have like a multiplayer like campaign that you can play, which is like a separate side story to all these other.
I never play it.
Yeah, neither did I. I think this is a cool option to include there because I mean, wouldn't you want to like fight bears or fight cult forces with your friend online? I think that'd be perfect.
Yeah, I but still, I know that I'm not ever going to play it.
Sure, but I like the option.
I like the option. The fact that they put it in there is good. I think. Getting people engaged with a friend at any point in time is, and especially since this is going to have a custom character.
Yeah.
That means you can kind of mold it to how you want. Cause I think we joked last episode mm-hmm. that what if they made it a black character? Well, you can. Like yep. you make whoever you want. At this point, I kind of am a big fan of custom characters. Mm-hmm. Let the NPCs kind of do the talking and it lets you graft yourself to the story a little more.
I'm actually glad you brought that up because clearly the player controlled character on the Far Cry games has never been very interesting.
Yeah.
Like Jason in Far Cry 3, no one, like, you know, party bro or whatever.
Yeah.
I forget the guy in Far Cry 4. And then.
Yeah, I do too. He had a mom. He was there for
a mom. He had a mom. Yeah, to deliver those ashes.
But that could have been anybody.
Exactly. And that's why they're giving players the option to like, okay, we're clearly going to create this wonderful cast of side characters and villains because that's what Far Cry is known for in yeah. terms of its narrative. So I think that's fine. So letting players just like, this is your own personal character. I think that's a smart move by Ubisoft.
Yeah, and this is great timing.
Yeah.
One, you know, you can take the whole political, religious, nationalist angle. You can take that. But you got to think, these games are made so far in
yeah.
advance.
Yeah.
So one, that change.org thing is really stupid because they're not,
understand.
They're not going to change yeah. it. They cannot, even if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there were probably executives that when everything shook out the way it did politically, they were like, oh shit, yeah. this is going to be rough. I'm glad that, you know, they're still going through with it and that they didn't decide to make any changes later yeah. on. But I'm really glad that it's in a different locale. I think that was one of the big knocks I had against Far Cry 4, I loved it. I love Far Cry 4. But it felt like a repeat of Far Cry 3, therefore yes. it felt lesser
mm-hmm.
because it didn't have that initial impact. So I can feel like just a environment swap, the mountains or, you know, the plains. And American Muscle Car is just a slight variation on the other kind of cars, but still like seeing a cool car and yeah. seeing a cow and a bear is going to be a different environment. It's just going to revitalize the franchise in a sense.
Yeah.
Because I think the gameplay is pretty much perfect for what I want.
It definitely is. But I'm still hoping for a Far Cry game with dinosaurs. I really want that.
Isn't that what Primal is? Does Primal not have dinosaurs?
No, they're like prehistoric like mammals. Like saber-toothed tigers and mammoths and I think like some other types of animals.
Oh, okay. Primal just went right over my head.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's good. It's just... It doesn't do anything new. It's just, again, it's just the aesthetic that's different.
Yeah.
And there's no guns.
Yeah.
That's about it. Development on Final Fantasy VII Remake is changing to an internal setup at Square Enix. Naoki Hamaguchi, project lead on Final Fantasy VII Remake, revealed Square Enix has shifted its focus away from working with an external studio on the game. CyberConnect 2 was previously helping Square Enix with development. Hamaguchi confirmed that while development was moving forward with external cooperation, Square Enix has decided to shift to an internal setup, including mass production and quality, because we want to control everything, including quality, on a stable schedule. This just means that clearly, this game is going through like a rough period right now, and no one knew what the hell they were doing. And in order to have this come out like within the next, I don't know, 10 years, I think this is a smart thing that they are moving it internally, as it should have been from the beginning. Why would you give it to a studio that you have like really no relationship with at all? Very a beloved property and a beloved entry in that property. It's very weird. So maybe this game will come out by 2020, or at least episode one. I mean, who even knows what form this game is taking? Because originally they announced it was going to be episodic, which just did not make any
sense.
They?
I didn't know.
Yeah. So very weird, but at the same time, I'm glad that it is moving back with, internally with the Square Enix studio.
This has me very interested, the whole Final Fantasy VII saga, because I think the general emotions around it, just that game, there's the section of people who go, you know, that game's not that great. Like, it's good. It's still a good RPG.
Yeah.
But the actual gems are 6 and 4, the older ones. Yeah. And even past that, someone would be more of a fan. Like, people will say 9 is actually better than 7. Yeah. So because this is going to be a full-on remake, right? They plan to change the mechanics and
the combat's everything. All different.
Combat's all different? Yeah. Okay.
It's the same combat as 15.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. So I am extremely confused why they thought to even, like you said, give this to a different team in the first place. That, you know, we've seen what damage and an underqualified team working on a very popular brand, you know, Andromeda.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe something like that really shook Square Enix, where they were like, oh, we should probably handle this ourselves and make sure we're taking care of it. Because I'll say, like, Final Fantasy is doing really well right now, I think. From terms of quality games, 14 is still going strong as an RPG. I've heard really great things about it. I think it just had an expansion recently.
Yeah.
And I love 15. I think it's a really good game. I know you didn't enjoy it as much as I did, but you can at least say the gameplay is fun.
No, the gameplay is very good.
And so I think you gravitate that gameplay towards Final Fantasy VII, mm-hmm. more beloved characters, and you know, maybe flesh out that environment, do some touch-ups on the story. And I think it can be something great and worthwhile, but it should have been handled in-house in the first place. But this makes me feel really good. As long as it doesn't get in the way of Kingdom Hearts 3, I'm okay.
Yeah, at this point, who knows if that's going to come out in the next fight. Yamatsu has reported that the 500 gigabyte version of the PS3, the only model that was still being made in Japan, has ended production. The PlayStation 3 was originally released in Japan November 11, 2006, and in North America on November 17th. Despite releasing later than anticipated, the PlayStation 3 went on to sell through some 80 million units worldwide as of 2013. Comparatively, as of April 2017, the PlayStation 4 has sold in excess of 60 million units. Launch titles include Call of Duty 3, Genji, Days of the Blade, Madden NFL 07, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, great game, Mobile Suit Gundam Crossfire, Need for Speed Carbon, NBA 07, NBA 2K7, NHL 2K7, Resistance Fall of Man, Ridge Racer 7, Tiger Woods PGA Tour 07, Tony Hawk's Project 8, and Untold Legends Dark Kingdom. The system was also home to notable exclusives, including Uncharted, The Last of Us, Demon's Souls, and Little Big Planet. Kind of the end of a console era. Now, I think that's other than the Wii, like, has ended production. The Wii U has ended production.
Darksiders just released on Wii U, so games will still be made for it, which is odd.
Apparently for the 12 million people that have it. But, I mean, yeah, it's kind of, I mean, you know, like, for all these the consoles, they typically do finally end. I thought about the PlayStation 2 actually just came to an end not too long ago as well. I think it was, what, this year or last year, I believe?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, like I said, I still think the PlayStation 3 was probably the second weakest of all the PlayStation consoles. But it definitely had some quality exclusives on it. Uncharted, Last of Us, Demon's Souls, Little Big Planet, a few other smaller titles as well. So, I mean, it definitely had an effect on the industry, and it gave us some great franchises.
Yeah, I think this laid the foundation for how successful the PS4 is.
Yeah, it was learning.
It had a very weak start. clearly because of hubris.
Mm-hmm.
PlayStation 2 had wiped everyone out, and Sony's like, well, we can do whatever we want.
You'll get a second job for this thing.
I cannot. $600. That they actually said that.
Yeah.
That they actually said, you will get a second job for this.
Yeah.
That is so arrogant, so disrespectful to your core base. It's, oh, man. But yeah, it is kind of like the end of an era. I think this is the greatest example of how a company can really right its ship.
Yeah.
Because it did start off so rocky, and you know, you list off all those launch titles, none of them are really great. Yeah. The best one is,
I'd say, Resistance.
Tony Hawk?
Yeah.
I like Project 8. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. They all blend together for me.
But yeah, it eventually went on to be, to me personally, I think just as good as the 360. Like, so the 360 killed it from the beginning.
Yeah.
But I think those latter 3 years, I think the PlayStation 3 had better games.
They caught up to the 360 in terms of sales, certainly. Mm-hmm. It finally did that. Like, PS3 started to have its turnaround with Uncharted 2. I think that was the system sell. That's what they needed to say, like, this is what games could be. They can be really cinematic and have, like, all these wonderful characters and that kind of thing. And it's only for the PlayStation. It's like, oh, well, I have to get that. Yeah, I mean, that was at a time when Sony was kind of doubling down, like, we have this exclusive and this exclusive, but it still wasn't selling the console. I think it wasn't until Uncharted and then later The Last of Us, which, again, that probably shipped a lot of units, even though it was a later game, one of the last, like, big games for the PS3, possibly yeah. the only big game for the PS3 at that time. So, but yeah, yeah, like I said, I just think, I think it did have an important place in just kind of the console generations. And clearly, like you said, it was a learning experience for Sony.
Yeah. So. And I think it is really interesting, though, that everything the PlayStation 3 planted, the PlayStation 4 gets to, you know, harvest.
Yep.
Because you lay out those exclusives, the ones that were created for this generation. Mm-hmm. And what did Microsoft create for the 360 that has gone on? Besides Gears, I cannot really think of anything.
I mean, that's a really good question. I mean,
that is like held on as a top tier thing.
Sure.
Because Demon's Souls, yes, Dark Souls eventually would go on mm-hmm. to be cross platform, but Bloodborne isn't. Bloodborne. And I think that relationship that has always been there is really important. Little Big Planet floundered, but something like Uncharted ended up being one of the best games of last year.
Yeah.
The hype around Last of Us 2 is a thing. God of War somehow still survived through that console. And is getting a refresh. Sony didn't seem to stumble on too many big name franchises. I never really thought Little Big Planet was that huge because it's a creator thing. But like Gears, to me, 4 was like fine.
Sure.
Crackdown, I'm really excited for, but is...
We don't know.
Yeah. Is the mainstream kind of people really excited for? Dead Rising is now just a B-level franchise to me.
It's mid-tier at this point.
Yeah, 4
fun.
Just, 4, yeah, 4 is a lot of fun. It just kind of came and went, and it's not like worth the huge investment.
Nope.
Halo, to me, I think it stumbled in terms of relevance. There's that hardcore fan base.
It was huge. That was Xbox 360 generation, was some of the best Halo games.
But to be able to continue on
to
that is what I'm saying.
Yes, you're right.
Is maybe why the Scorpio is basically a reset button for them.
Yeah.
I think it's the hubris sort of situation where Microsoft is like, oh, we can do whatever we want. I think it's incredibly hilarious how all this stuff shakes out.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And you're absolutely right about all that. Tokyo RPG Factory, the development studio behind I Am Setsuna, has announced its next game, Lost Spear, for Nintendo Switch, PS4, and Steam. The game starts in a remote town where a young boy by the name of Kanata wakes from a dream to find his town disappearing. It's then up to Kanata and his friends to rebuild the world around them by converting thoughts into matter. Building on the framework laid down by I Am Setsuna, Lost Spear will introduce an expanded gameplay system with a reworked active time battle system. Lost Spear is scheduled for release in early 2018. I imagine it's called Lost Spear, but that's not how it's awkward.
That spelled weird. You got to get that sweet SEO.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, fine. I have never played I Am Setsuna. I know very little about it, but the one thing I will say is that clearly there's been a resurgence in a lot of Japanese role-playing games recently. Of course, Final Fantasy V, but also stuff like Ni No Kuni, another kind of smaller title that's gotten like a lot of hype, certainly from the PS3 generation, now carrying over into the PS4. So I think they're just doubling down on something that works at this point.
I'm very surprised you haven't played I Am Setsuna. It is very much the seeds of Chrono Trigger or something to that.
Yeah.
That's initially why I put it on here, because I was like, you know, I haven't had the opportunity to get too much hands-on time with I Am Setsuna, but it's something I'm very interested in.
Sure.
Just seeing screens, and I do know it's on the Switch. I'm waiting for it to kind of go down a little bit because I really do want to play it on the Switch. You are right about this, and we kind of talked about it off and on as the episode's gone on, especially after the thing of Mass Effect just kind of petering out.
Yep.
Japanese RPGs are killing it right now. I think so. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Final Fantasy, Fire Emblem's Fates, and then
Fire Emblem every week.
Yeah,
month at this point,
it's on your phone now. Yeah. Persona.
Yeah.
This new Persona. Lost Sphere. I think, you know, they're finally getting their due. It's not because gamer culture has kind of seeped its way into everything at this point.
Yeah.
The kind of oddities of Japanese RPGs kind of get thrown aside at this point, and I think that's really good for, you know, the culture as a whole and just these developers, because they see the value in the games they're creating. There's something like Bravely Second and Bravely Default is another one I was thinking of. Nintendo, I think Nintendo has kind of like really helped along in the handheld space.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that has made these developers more comfortable to go to something like the PS4. And I'm really glad to see this continue.
I think it's interesting you bring that up because, yeah, the proliferation of these handhelds, specifically the 3DS, I think that's helped a lot of RPGs that probably would have been ignored had they been on any other system. Like the fact that it's for the 3DS players, and which, what, how many have they sold? Like close to like 80 million units or something like that, like around there. And with the PS4 being the dominant console and that being typically the home for a lot of JRPGs, it kind of makes sense that they're coming back. Because you think about it, the 360 generation, PS3 generation, there weren't really many quality JRPGs. There were a few. Ni No Kuni, for example. Again, that was like later generation PS3 game. But for the most part, with the 360 being the dominant console, it was all about kind of third-person shooters and first-person shooters. That was really it. And that was dominated.
I didn't think about that at all. Mm-hmm. The whole American console is winning, so that's the kind of games we're going to get.
Yeah.
And so now both Japanese – well, the Japanese home console is winning and the Japanese handheld console – has been killing it ever since it came out. That's the great thing about the 3DS is I think in personally, not just from the whole grand scheme of things, but it does what the Wii should have done, where it found a way to start off being just palatable to everybody, having little brain games and little kid games and everything. But what the Wii failed to do, and I think the 3DS really killed it at, is weasel in these deep types of games. Mm-hmm. Like let's dip your toes into gaming with your, I don't know, Animal Crossing's kind of deep. Yeah, with your Brain Ages and your new Super Mario Brothers. Dip your toes into that. But then you're like, well, that's right next to the Bravely Seconds and that's right next to the Fire Emblems. And it's just kind of like, well, you know, I've got the 3DS. Why not try that?
Yeah.
And that's where I think the 3DS really kills it, is it has this wide variety of games. Mm-hmm. And it's great to see other consoles and gamers in general get to reap those benefits of the 3DS. I think the 3DS is one of those all-time great consoles.
I have some problems with 3DS because it is so underpowered and how I need a new version to play my Nintendo retro games. Because as you know, the Nintendo 3DS cannot play Link to the Past. Just cannot do it. It's too much for it. Or Super Metroid? No. It doesn't have the same power as the SNES. All those.
It doesn't have Mode 7.
A 90s console.
No Mode 7.
No, it does.
I think that's just a marketing thing.
Oh,
that's,
totally. It's bullshit.
It works. Yeah. I swear it works. It's just...
I can't believe you have this on here. Sonic Mania will come out August 15th, 2017. Pre-orders are live digitally for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, while Nintendo Switch owners will have to wait until the game launches. It's going to launch originally for $19.99, I believe. The game's collector edition, however, which will be available only in North America for $69.99, is available for pre-order at various retailers while supplies last. So all you furry Sonic fans, I'm sure you're going to love this game. You're going to play it.
Did you watch the trailer?
Yeah, I glimpsed at it.
I knew. Well,
there's some drawings in it and stuff.
It's a really lighthearted, fun little trailer. It kind of drums up feelings of maybe Sonic CD.
Right. That's what people have been comparing it to. Yeah.
And the gameplay is very old school Sonic, so which is what people would want. I know you say it's bad, and it probably is. And just like Crash Bandicoot probably is. We'll find out this month.
Yeah.
But it's finally giving people exactly what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Put your money where your mouth is. Like you've been asking for it. Yeah. Go buy this game. And I think the fact that it is, what did you say, $20 or at least a cheaper title.
The standard one.
Yeah.
The base title.
And it's not this weird episodic thing like Sonic 4 was. So this is a full-fledged Sonic game, you know, a little remixy, but a low price. If this does not sell, then shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't like Sonic. And it's great that this is a moment just like put your money where your mouth is. I think it's kind of weird though that the collector's edition is North America only. Is Japan just like done with Sonic at this point?
Probably. I mean, they'd probably be, especially, because they're all about the Nintendo. You're all about like the Mario, so they're excited more for that kind of thing, those kind of things. Like even I think it's weird. I think more people in Japan play their 3DSs than kind of their PlayStation consoles at this point, you know, cause it's all about kind of that on the move type of thing, that mobile gaming.
But that's the thing
that's prevalent there.
That's the thing about the Sonic game though, is I see it for Switch. I would get it for Switch because I'm going to play what, a 30-second Sonic level really quick on the bus and then put my Switch up and be on my way. Like, Sonic, there's nothing about the Sonic game where I need to sit down on my 70-inch home theater setup and, you know, play it on the my PlayStation 4 Pro
4K
with 4K HDR, surround sound. That's not what Sonic's about. It's just in my hand, headphones in. Zoop, zoop, zoop. Got the bunnies.
Bunnies?
Like, you have to jump on the little capsule because Dr. Eggman got the bunnies. Little chickens.
Got it.
Some stuff that isn't on our news notes.
John found these cool stories.
Yeah, real late in the game. Life is Strange prequel has been leaked.
It's hella awesome.
A prequel to Life is Strange, the episodic adventure game about a teenage girl who discovers she can rewind time, appears to be on the way, according to leaked screenshots posted online. Life is Strange, which was released over a 9-month period in 2015, was developed by the Parisian studio Dontnod Entertainment and published by Square Enix. However, the purported prequel is apparently being made by a different company, the Denver area developer Deck 9 Games, which was known until yesterday as Idle Minds. The French site Game Cult perused the source code of Deck 9's website and came across a screenshot of a girl standing in front of an oncoming train. Deck 9 has since removed the image. In fact, its entire site is currently offline. But further evidence soon surfaced in the form of anonymously uploaded Imgur gallery of 8 screenshots, as well as one piece of Life is Strange branded concept art, with descriptions mentioning two key characters, Chloe Price, the childhood friend of Life is Strange protagonist Max Caulfield, and Chloe's best friend, Rachel Amber. Amber.
Interesting.
Now, I personally did not play Life is Strange.
Yeah.
So I'm not too familiar with it.
I can kind of go into it a little bit without spoilers. Basically, a lot of the first game revolves around Max and was it Chloe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Trying to figure out what happened to Rachel. Like, she's missing, and all other people might be missing as well. And then trying to figure it out. And you learn more about, like, Chloe and Rachel's relationship and how they were friends, or maybe they're more than friends, that kind of thing. So, maybe we're going to see that. It's just weird because I don't know how, like, the kind of the rewind time and time powers are going to kind of play into that, if they are at all. Cause that was a big part of the game where Max inexplicably just gets time powers and is able to rewind time and make different choices. That's the basic kind of gameplay element of the game. It's like a Telltale game, except you can rewind it if you want.
Is it kind of like a Remember Me? Do you remember that Capcom game?
I remember.
Did they try to start a new franchise and it did not succeed?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Did that have time travel stuff in it?
Yeah, so like it was sort of Inception-esque where you would go into scenes and kind of move things around or rewind a specific element so that your choice that you wanted to happen would happen.
Sure.
I also barely played it. I think I played a demo of it.
It's somewhat related to that in a way. But again, more Telltale-esque where you're kind of awkwardly walking around a room and stuff like
that. So is this something you're interested in seeing? Like, is this worth it?
I would be fine with another entry, but it's weird, like a sequel, a proper sequel, because Life is Strange has two endings, but this clearly they
wanted only you to
one ending one. Where it's like, this is the definitive ending. The other one's like, yeah, whatever. So I would kind of want to see that story continue on because I think that'd be interesting. But a prequel, I mean, it's going to be talking about things I really don't care about.
Okay.
You know, I know what happens with Rachel and her relationship with Chloe and Max. And that's kind of like, that's a bookend. It's done. To see more of that, I think that'd be just weird. I don't think it's appropriate. And please, if they are going to do it, and clearly they are doing this, fix your dialogue. Stop using hella. Hella is a terrible word.
I told you. Slang. I think it's like a West Coast thing.
Oh, it's so... It is a West Coast. Yeah, I hear that a lot from people like in California. They say that.
But, yeah.
You know, I've never... We East Coast people, we don't say that.
I mean, you know, the cool things start off on the West Coast. And by the time they're in the East, they're like old hat.
Mm-hmm. We make fun of that. We make fun of them.
Eating your old bagels and shit.
Bagels are awesome. Bagels and chicken wings and... Oh, it's good stuff. So we got a lot of cool stuff.
The last little thing is a Nintendo Switch headset chat. Looks like a hot fucking mess, guys. So accessories manufacturer Hori, or Ori, it's H-O-R-I.
No, it's Ori.
Will release a Nintendo Switch headset alongside Splatoon 2 this summer. One of the first of its kind for the console. But illustrated instructions for how the headset will connect to the Switch don't give owners a ton of confidence about the future of voice chat for the system. First, a little pro on it. The headset looks like it came straight out of Splatoon with some pop art detail on the little ears and everything, which is apparently the point according to Ori's Twitter, which includes an image of an Inkling boy wearing the headset as proof. But the big con is Ori released a diagram tweet kind of highlighting how the whole thing would work. So it's a big old mess, you know, to be honest. Yeah. It has this little squid-shaped dongle, sort of like a headphone splitter.
You're losing me already.
It looks like a headphone splitter. So the headset jack points into the cap of the squid.
Right.
And then there's two external ports where one aux cord has to go into your cell phone and the other aux cord has to go into the Switch. So, you know, you want to keep track. That's three wires, three different contraptions, and one dongle in the middle just to talk to your friends on Splatoon.
Why can't they just make a headset where I plug it into the Switch or in the controller? Why do it this way? It doesn't make any sense. Does Nintendo not learn from their competitors for like the past 20 years that just make a regular headset? Yeah. Why is it so complicated?
I'm honestly confused. And the first thing, you know, an important note is that this isn't Nintendo making it. It is Hori. So it's kind of like, a third party thing. But that's another thing.
So you can't.
Why hasn't Nintendo like said anything about it?
Yeah.
Yet. Why? Especially how big Splatoon 2 is going to be and how big they are marketing it. They even call it Splatoon 2, even though it is Splatoon.
Really. Yeah.
So I think it is weird that there's not an official Nintendo one yet. But I think this is probably highlighting how it's supposed to be done. Because remember, they had a cell phone app to talk, which I personally think is okay. Mm. I think that's fine. I think that's a way to centralize where all your friends are. Like if all your Nintendo friends are on a little app, I think it's good as an option, but like you said, just plug it into that.
Yeah, I mean,
plug it into the system.
Yeah,
you should only need one thing for gaming.
Yeah,
the system, mm-hmm. and the fact that you require someone else to have a cell phone.
It's just weird. It makes it unnecessarily complicated.
But it could also be an age gating thing. You know, Nintendo really trying to be careful, and like maybe they think, you know, kids don't have cell phones, by the time you have a cell phone, your parents have already acknowledged that here you can have the whole world in your hands. Sure. So like that's a conscious decision.
I guess, but it's just weird. I mean, with kids, you think that I wouldn't let them play online, knowing that, you know, a little more parental responsibility where, you know, or you play with their friends or whatever. I mean, the parents just need to be more involved with their kids' gaming. That's what I'm saying. It's anyway, but this is just weird. I just think it's really unnecessary. Just make a regular. I mean, is this only for Splatoon 2? Does it only work for Splatoon
2? No, I doubt it.
Yeah, if that's the case, that'd be like, whoa, what are you doing?
Well, this is just a continuing trend of Nintendo not understanding how online play works.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, hopefully, hint to what we're going to talk about in the E3 prediction section of this episode, I hope Nintendo kind of outlines how that online aspect is going to work, because I'm still in the fucking dark, and it's been what, 3 months since the consoles come out?
That's ridiculous. That had Sony done that or had Microsoft done that, they'd be going to the coals right now.
Yeah,
you know, it'd be ridiculous.
Remember Wii Speak for the Wii? It was like a little. It wasn't even a headset. It was. I think they released it around the time of Animal Crossing. It was a speaker that you connected to the Wii because they didn't want your parents to not hear what you were saying to people or something like that. I don't really know why. It was just there was no headset for the Wii at the time. You got to look up images of Wii Speak. It was around the time that they released that fingerprint sensor for the Wii as well. You remember?
I don't remember any of this.
There was like a heart rate capture. You don't remember any of this?
I've never used it, probably.
You know, it was one of my E3 highlights, checking those things out.
Oh, yeah, making our predictions. I am predicting much bullshit. And some good stuff. You know, I've always dreamed about going to E3 when I was younger. Like, you know, you're seeing all the big console makers, all these big publishers of their games and stuff. It's like, it'd be really exciting. But as I've gotten older and like have experienced a number of like conferences, just like in Austin here, it's like, I don't think I can handle something like that. I'm just stressed out like covering RTX. Like that, it'd be too much. It's so crowded and there's so many people there and everyone's smelly and it's just, you know. Gamers, I think it's a bad stereotype that gamers don't bathe, but when you're in a room that long with so many, like, basically thousands of people, it'd get pretty bad, I think, after a while.
Yeah, I was actually, while I was prepping the notes and kind of thinking about what I was going to say, I thought, during all these conferences, like, luckily, some of them are on the weekend, because the ones on Monday and Tuesday, they're in the middle of the day. I'm going to be at work, I can't see them. I remember Summers as a teen, just like, sitting there all my day was E3 G4 coverage.
Yep. Oh yeah.
And just like chilling, got a bowl of Fruit Loops, like let's see what games were popping off this year. Mm-hmm. And my dad would always come home really upset at me because I'm still sitting in my underwear on the couch watching the game stuff. Yeah. But like as I've gone on, listened to more podcasts, read interviews and stuff, E3 just sounds kind of awful. It sounds like you said, like a huge convention, a lot of sweaty people, a lot of smells, a lot of overpriced gross food, and a lot of sickness. Because when you go to conventions like that, you're bound to get sick when you come back. Mm-hmm. And even something like Comic-Con, I'm kind of like, I used to want to go, but...
I would never want to go. Maybe New York Comic-Con because it's a smaller venue, so that'd be better. But yeah, I'm just like...
PAX has become the one for people to go to.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, actually. PAX, or if you're in Germany, Gamescom, which I hear is really, really nice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, because press, they always talk very negatively about E3. Like, because I listen to like a lot of like the IGN guys and Kind of Funny, even Rooster Teeth people, they all dislike E3 immensely. So I was like, okay, I'll appreciate it. Because it's
kind
afar.
Of, you think about it, it's kind of like a stockholder, shareholders sort of conference. Yeah. Because this is their spotlight.
Some PowerPoints.
It's right when the fiscal year is starting.
Yep.
So it's like, this is what's coming out. This is why you should invest in us, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So keep your eyes on that NASDAQ or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that old thing. But, you know, John and I thought it'd be best to do our E3 predictions. And, of course, after E3, we'll do our reactions to see who was right and who was wrong.
Yeah, so the press conferences kick off on June 10th. The first one is EA. Mm-hmm. And the convention goes until the 16th. Did I say the 16th?
The 15th. Yes. Yeah, yeah. It's middle of the week.
Middle of the week. So that means this episode will drop. We're going to record one in between where we're kind of just going over our memory. So if you got some, be sure to throw that our way as well. So
good and bad memories. But yeah, starting off with EA, should we just go kind of like I'll do mine and then you do yours?
Yes.
Yeah. And so I think one of the first things EA will do is that there will be a new Dragon Age game that will be teased of a trailer, but no gameplay will be shown. I think that, you know, after... you know, the dud that was Mass Effect Andromeda, BioWare needs kind of a little positivity. And with Dragon Age Inquisition being a very popular game, had its problems, certainly, but it was received very well and it sold very well. So I think that, you know, EA is probably wants, okay, let's go with one of the other established franchises that BioWare has that is still beloved. And I think the next Dragon Age game, whatever it's going to be called, Dragon Age 4 or something, I think it definitely will be shown.
Yeah, I think to go off of that, because this is going to be like a give and go. Mm-hmm. I think a trailer will be shown, but no real time to it.
Yeah, it'll be like a 60-second.
It's more like, because the rumors came out a few weeks ago, someone had talked about it, and, you know, so the thought of Dragon Age is getting drummed up, but I don't think, really, especially after Andromeda, BioWare needs to be on stage for too long right now.
No, exactly.
Just give them some time away. So Dragon Age will be out there for a trailer, but we're kind of just going to mention it. Say when we're aiming, maybe, what, 2018? Is that what you think?
Maybe. I mean...
it's not coming out this year.
No, it's definitely not. I think probably... no, absolutely not. Maybe even early 2019. I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. Yeah.
But you have one of your own predictions, or you just want to kind of go from there?
I didn't have... yeah, that I have, mine are actually mirror yours.
Yeah, okay. So perfect. So I do think BioWare is also... like, I think, just to go back on the Dragon Age thing, I think it'll be like an in-between, like some of the big games are going to be talking about. Yeah. And it'll be that kind of that placeholder thing where it'll be that teaser trailer, and then they go into the next big game. So,
yeah.
But I do think BioWare will have another additional presence there, because I think they have to reveal their new IP. And I think we're going to see a trailer and we're going to see gameplay for it, because they have to. We don't know what it is. I think it'll be the perfect place to do it.
Nope.
Why don't you think so?
I just... wait, didn't they delay it until next year? Like they fall next year?
No, they delayed it, but then you can start to tease a little bit. I think you need to show it, because people are curious at this point, and people are really down on BioWare. And to at least give them something like, look, this is something that's totally separate from what we've originally done. It's not an RPG as we know. It's described as an action game with some RPG elements. So I think they need to show that we still have fresh ideas. We still have new ideas, and there's still a reason to be excited about BioWare.
I think we'll see no trailer, no gameplay. We will see concept art, sort of like a detail. Like BioWare will come out and go, you know, you guys know that we just recently delayed our game, but we want to give you a sense of why, what we're trying to create. They're going to show off like landscapes and worlds and stuff. But they'll say something like, but in the meantime, we've still got something else for you BioWare fans. And then that's when they go into the trailer for Dragon Age.
Because that's what the, okay. That, That kind of makes sense. Yep. I think that makes sense. But at the same time, they did that last time with this IP. And I think that
they
did that. Okay. So they can't do it twice.
Oh,
that's
damn.
The other thing. So, cause I think that's what they led into, like a trailer for Mass Effect, or no, the Mass Effect thing played. And then the BioWare concept art stuff for the new IP was like right after that. So
no gameplay. I still say no gameplay.
Yeah.
Trailer. Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Maybe. I think we'll get an entire segment dedicated to the Battlefront 2 single player. They need to do this because they, you know, Battlefront was heavily criticized for its lack of single player content. And if you really want to show off your game and say, oh no, we have a really compelling narrative, I think this is the place to do it here. So you show like a segment from the story itself, show off some of the characters. And so I think it's a natural fit for that. It can be like, you know, between what, 5 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes, something like that. Yeah.
I think this is going to be their centerpiece.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Is this will be the final thing because the game comes out this year, right?
Yep. November.
This is going to be their last chunk.
Yep.
Right before a potential, one last thing, which could probably be what the next thing is.
The next thing is, which I think they will reveal the next Battlefield game, whatever it might be, but it'll have a 2018 fall release date.
That I don't agree with. I think you're kind of bonkers on that, that it's going to come out so soon.
Because it's that's how they've done it now, though. It's like we have a Battlefield game that comes out
that's in a full
1 year.
That's a year and a half.
That's what they've done, though. It's like they have Battlefield, then Battlefront.
Well,
Battlefield,
when you say,
then Battlefront.
When you say reveal...
Because Medal of Honor is dead. Because that was their other EA exclusive.
Military shooter.
Military shooter.
I forgot to mention last episode, little coda to that. Yeah. There was actually a second Medal of Honor game. It was Medal of Honor Warfighter.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Battlefield
see,
one.
It's going to be revealed. It'll get like some gameplay will be shown, but it'll be like a trailer. We won't get a gameplay segment. It's just going to show off what the aesthetic is going to be, what time period is going to take place in. And I think that'll be it. It's not going to be an extended gameplay segment with Battlefront 2 because they want to concentrate on Battlefront 2 since that's the game that's coming
out. Have they released DLC?
For Battlefront or Battlefield 1?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have. They have been.
Are they all done? Are they all done?
I don't know if it's all done, but I don't know if that'd be the place to do it at. Because they've had like regular map packs. There's no single player content for it, but I don't think they will do single player content for Battlefield 1. I wish they would. That would be awesome, but I don't still think they're going to do
that. I say trailer, but no one says anything. Like, it is the last thing in the show. It's just a trailer.
Okay.
And that's it. They just walk out.
Okay. And this is probably one that I personally really want. I think Unravel 2 will be revealed there. We know that Coldwood Studios is supposedly working on a sequel to the game, but I think it'll have a 2018 spring release date. So, I think that'd be perfect because you're avoiding all the other big releases in the fall. And so you want to put out a smaller game that might get more attention there.
And is Unravel 2 that big a name that it's worth
them
drumming
up? Well, none of their kind of smaller games like Unravel or I forgot the one. It's like a shadow game where you play like a little furry animal in it that was just shown off last year. I forget what it's coming out. I think later this fall, I believe.
Rainbow?
No, it's like Fire or something like that. I forget what it is.
Okay,
I'll look it up later. But yeah, I mean they've always showed off one kind of smaller indie-like game. It's not an independent game, really, because it's under the EA brand. But, Unravel 2 was received moderately well. It was criticized to a certain extent for its like platforming and stuff like that. But for the most part, I think a lot of people did like it. And I would want to see that series continue on.
I think we'll do the whole indie showcase thing. They'll have a bunch of little smaller games. We'll see like some sort of gameplay segment, like a small little trailer of the game in motion. But I think EA will show off a new IP.
New IP.
So, sort of in the vein of Unravel 2, where it's a smaller title because they're going to need that. Yeah. If they want to own their own conference,
sure,
they're going to have to show off that we support the small guys.
I know that's what they did last year, which it wasn't Unravel. It was that other game, which I can't remember off the top of my head. No idea if it's even coming out. but we shall see. So moving on from that, we have Microsoft, and I think Microsoft is going to go all out with this E3 theme because they have to.
Yep. Yep.
So
this is like for Microsoft, this is a console reveal E3.
Yep, which is big.
Yeah.
Which is unlike anyone else. I mean, it's just them that's doing that, which is pretty interesting. So Project Scorpio will be fully unveiled. I think it's going to cost $400, and I think it's going to release this fall. A lot of bold stuff there. But again, Microsoft has to make some moves. And I think this is going to be one of them. They're going to sell the console at a loss, I believe. Because apparently what we've heard, this is going to be the most powerful console ever made. And it probably should cost $500, but they probably can't sell for $500. So they're going to undercut that and sell for $400.
At first, I thought you had written $299.
Insane.
And so I was like, I'm going to bump that up $50 or $100, chief, just to beat you out on it. I completely agree with this. Mm-hmm. I think $400, maybe even a slightly bigger hard drive for $50 more, maybe.
Yeah, so like $449,
that kind of thing,
for like 2 terabyte.
Yeah, something like that. You know, I think a fall 2017 release date is spot on, I think. First week November,
mm-hmm.
And because it has to get away a little bit from what I think comes out the first week December, and that we'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think games on games on games, because they realize why the one failed so much from the jump.
Mm-hmm.
They realize why the PlayStation 4 took off the way it did. So you know, I just for the, our little score sheet, I 100% agree with you here.
Mm-hmm.
No, we'll just keep going down your list, but a big thing about Scorpio is I think they'll say something like, basically it's a Steam box to me, but not Steam. Xbox is now their marketplace in a sense.
Xbox Game Pass and stuff like that.
Yes, Xbox Game Pass and stuff like that. Xbox is now their Steam, and this is essentially a PC.
I mean, the consoles are PCs.
It's their Xbox box, the same way they had Steam boxes. Yeah. It's their Xbox box, and I think that's what Scorpio is going to turn into. Do you have a fun name for it? We can do it a names thing.
Oh, the names! I actually had not thought of that. That's because they're not going to call it Project Scorpio, obviously.
I always love the nicknames better, except for Dolphin. That was stupid.
Dolphin was stupid.
I think it was N64.
It was the N64. You're right. God, that's hard. I have not thought of that. I mean, the Xbox One was such a dumb name, and it was confusing because it confuses, like, because everyone else called the original Xbox the Xbox. That's the Xbox One.
Yeah.
We all called it. Now it's all confused. I call it the original Xbox. Xbox 720.
No.
That was one of the, everyone was calling what the Xbox One was going to be at first. Like, oh, it's Xbox 720 or whatever. I really don't know.
Do you think the console has Xbox in its name?
Yes, I think it will have it because it needs it, because that's how people remember it by, you know, all the previous consoles. That's what the PlayStation has always been.
It's
not like Nintendo. I mean, if they do like a complete break from it, think of the mass consumer who, like, the parents who are buying these games for these kids. You know, they're like, my kid wants the most recent Xbox game. Well, you have the Xbox One version, you have Scorpio, and it's like, well, what the hell is a Scorpio? People are going to start to get confused. And that kind of thing. And that's kind of goes back to one thing I want to say. I think every game they're going to talk about is going to be for the Scorpio as well, and the Xbox One. And everything, it'll be backwards compatible. And physically backwards compatible for all Xbox One discs.
That'll get a big applaud from the crowd. People will go fucking crazy because that is so convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think controllers are the same? Like, you can just, everything can be used?
That's an excellent question.
I think everything can be transferred, like, the controllers are the same. You can do all that because I think it is just a PC with an Xbox sticker on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why in my head, I'm just like, what do you call it? Do you call it? Cause in my head, I think just call it the Xbox.
Xbox,
like,
that's forever.
Like, I just, I don't know. Just, it feels like what they're going for is this kind of cloud centric sort of PC thing. Cause you, and this is me getting my tech, you know, because I keep staying involved with the tech world. Satya Nadella, he's been always about cloud first, mobile first, always moving. Like, that's him. Microsoft to him has been like a brand. Mm-hmm. It's an important brand, but they want to be everywhere. Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing with, like, their services, like Word and Excel. They're making sure Cortana and stuff like that is everywhere. They want to be part of your life. And so that's why I have this idea that, like, Xbox, what we think of as the Xbox, is just Steam, and it's going to be transferable because it's basically a PC. And so to me, I keep thinking words like cloud and Kinect. Gosh dang it, I wish Kinect wasn't taken, because just calling it like Xbox Kinect or something like that would have been cool.
Yeah.
Xbox,
the Kinect,
like
the Kinect.
Something, because I don't know, something like sync or transfer, some sort of idea that gets across that you start games here. but go to your home PC and you can keep playing, or remote play on something.
Yeah.
You know, it's just,
I mean, if it, if you could use like hardware and stuff on it, like with the controllers and everything, I think that'd be really cool. I don't know if they're going to go that far. I definitely think they're going to do that for the games though. I think because they have to. The BFX, the big fucking Xbox. I think that's a good name. Good acronym.
It's going to be massive. Back to the beginning. It's going to be massive, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It's like, okay, do you think it's going to be really big? It'd be really, because I think that it has to be sleek. It has to be sexy, like how the PS4 was. Because people criticized the Xbox One because it looked like a VCR. It did. Because it was very big and blocky and stuff. But I don't know. I'm very interested to see what they're going to reveal.
I think it's gray.
Gray.
It won't be black. It'll be gray. And it'll
in between kind of like the 360 and the One, that kind of thing. And some, like it's a melding of everything you love.
And I see something about it having a hint of the OG Xbox. There will be green somewhere on it.
Yeah, I think because that's their colors, yeah.
Well, like, there was nothing green about the console of the One.
Well, but, like, when you launch it, though, it's like, the logo is green. And, like, the menu... Well,
it's white. I mean, physical hardware, the box, there will be, like, a stripe of green somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think mixing like, a dark green with, like, a dark gray looks really cool.
Okay.
Yeah, forest green. Man, we talked about colors and fucking boxes.
It's a good prediction.
This is going to be the biggest thing at E3.
Absolutely. So my next prediction is going to be Crackdown 3 will be showcased at the conference, and it's going to have a fall 2007 release date. It has to come out this year. I can't imagine. This game was originally announced when the Xbox One was, like, when PS4 and Xbox One had their first E3 conferences, and it's just, we haven't heard anything from it. They have to come out.
When's Destiny come out?
September this year, September or early October, I believe. It's around that. And I think this would be like a November game. This is like a first week November game.
I was gonna say first week October, then I thought about Destiny.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, I think
mid October. I'll say mid October.
Mid October.
It'll be a week before Destiny or 2 weeks after Destiny.
Honestly, I mean, they won't do this. At least I don't think they would do this. But it'd be perfect to release that game in August, because with Shadow of Mordor out the door now and delayed, like that would be a perfect time when there's really nothing else. I mean, the summer, it's kind of barren for the most part, aside from a few smaller.
I think there will be, and I'll bring this up during the next press conference, but there will be a few. Comes out in 2 months. Comes out next month.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's particularly one company.
Yeah.
You know, from that, Sea of Thieves will be showcased at the conference, and it'll have a winter or spring 2018.
Now, this is who again? I forget.
This is one. Rare. This is their pirate kind of RPG MMO, however they're describing
it. Oh, man.
I just
do not care about this one.
I think that's kind of what the kind of pervading
census is.
Yes. Yeah, no one really, like, a lot of people. I still want to see more of it, because you're right. I just haven't really cared about it, but I think they want to position it to release in either the early winter or late winter, early spring, because this game will not, it will sink if it's, because it's a pun.
Good job.
It's a ship.
Good job.
Because if it's placed in the fall, because those bigger titles will just crush.
Does it have a multiplayer aspect? Like, is it an MMO type thing? Yeah. It'll get some time then. I think just to showcase the ability of the Scorpio to, like, Scorpio will be able to handle, like, this wide thing. They gotta have games that showcase the expansive nature and how much improved things look on the Scorpio.
Yeah, all these games will be showcased on the Scorpio.
Yeah.
I believe that.
And so,
they'll have someone on stage actually playing them.
Yeah.
Because I know that's typically Sony's thing, but I think Microsoft's like, we're going to steal
what I think you've done. Everything at Microsoft's conference will be gameplay. I think, except for the last thing, which is you didn't write down, but I think I have. Continue.
Yeah, and then this isn't really for me, but Forza Motorsport 7, it's going to be revealed, and it's going to have a fall 2017 release date, because there's always a Forza coming out every year. Last year was Forza Horizon 3, which I played, and it's actually really good. Forza Horizon is awesome, because it's more of
Burnout Paradise.
It is. It's Burnout Paradise. A little bit like kart in there too, like a kart racer. It's just wide open areas where the motorsport is more traditional kind of racing game.
I've never been so disinterested in a brand than I am with Forza.
Oh, I'm the same way with even PlayStations, like Gran Turismo. It's the exact same thing.
Gran Turismo is so dead though.
I know, exactly. Point, that's the thing. For whatever reason, this franchise just keeps going.
I know. I just don't get it. So I'll agree with you. It comes out second weekend in November, or second Tuesday of November.
Yeah, I think definitely just the fall of 2017. I mean, you're getting in the weeks at this
point. No, yeah, because I'm trying to beat you out. Yeah, I'm playing Price is Right games.
I can't wait until we have to remember all this stuff. So what did you say exactly? We've got to give you 0.333 points or whatever. And my last prediction is that State of Decay 2 will be showcased and will also have a fall 2017 release date.
I have nothing to say on that. I'll leave that as your solo pick. Okay. My solo thing is Halo 6 trailer tease to end it up.
So you think that they will show something with Halo?
Yeah. They have to. I think yeah. Halo...
Did they say it won't be there? That's what they said.
Like to play?
No, they just said Halo 6 will not be there. They could be lying, though. And they've done
and it could also not be called Halo 6. You start getting up to those numbers. Yeah. You don't want to say numbers anymore. The only ones who do it, I'm like, you said Forza Motorsport 7. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Why are you still making these?
Yeah.
Because after a certain threshold, unless you're Final Fantasy, you just get rid of the number.
Yeah.
And I think Halo is synonymous with Microsoft and Xbox. And I think if Xbox is really making the Scorpio a game changer, then they're going to. It's just Halo something.
Yeah, have a
it's not Halo 6. It's Halo colon something.
Halo 5 had a subtitle as well. People don't remember that. It was Halo 5 Guardians.
Which made
no sense.
I always just called it Guardians. I didn't know. I didn't know it was 5 on it, honestly.
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
Yeah. I see, you know, the trailer is more showing a landscape, showing maybe a new planet, and you, like, it's slow. It's slow. Yeah. A new voice says something. And then you hear Master Chief say two words, and then it does the like piano chord ding, and then it goes
ding,
out.
Ding, ding.
And then it just gives a splash page of like the part of the logo. You know, it has that like Halo ring. Yeah. It just shows that, but no number. It doesn't say anything. It just shows that
the Chief will return. That kind of thing.
Yeah, something like
that. All right, okay. That makes sense. But that would I'm be, not going
to
hold my breath.
That would be that. The only thing. They're just like to get you one last hype. We've got something in the works just to let you know, because Halo and Microsoft are hand in hand.
Yeah. Okay. Then moving on to Bethesda, which I think is going to be another exciting conference. I think the Evil Within 2 will be revealed and it'll have a winter or spring 2018 release date. The original Evil Within actually sold moderately well. Critically, it performed very well too. It's been, I think, 3 years at this point, because the game was released 2014. So it just kind of makes sense that this game would be coming out soon. And to avoid, again, those bigger titles, it's going to come out like in the winter or spring.
I think
it's going to avoid the fall.
First 2 weeks of January or first 2 weeks of December.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. The next one I think is just obvious. The Wolfenstein New Colossus will be revealed, and it's going to have a fall 2017 release.
September.
Thing. Yeah.
I think this is the one that's going to be like, it's coming out in 2 months. It's coming out in 3 months. Mm-hmm. Like, get in front of Destiny. Give us a hot single player game to play. Because like you said, especially with Mordor out, you know, honestly, they could have been like, we'll put it in the fall. Like we can stand up there. But then when Mordor got kicked back, I can see them going game change coming out like August.
Yeah. I think it could have come out at the same time as Mordor, because those are two very different types of games. Like within 2 weeks of each other kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, I'm super excited for it. I loved Wolfenstein The New Order. It's so good. And I was just so happy that the game performed well. Again, not only critically, but just commercially. It's like, thank God that niche exists and that we're getting those first-person single-player shooters. The other thing is, I think Prey or Dishonored 2 will have DLC shown there. Bethesda has had a history of showing DLC for their past games at their conferences. I think that they just would. Probably more for Prey than Dishonored 2, I imagine, because I get the sense that Dishonored 2 was a really big commercial disappointment for them. And I think Prey is, I believe, selling better than Dishonored 2.
Yeah.
But I just kind of, like, not, you know, critically Dishonored 2 was ranked very highly by a lot of reviewers. I just haven't played it. But for Prey, I think that's going to get a little more attention, because that's a more recent game. It's more in the kind of people know it more.
That's the thing, though, is when you're a company like Bethesda who's starting off trying to be like EA and Activision, I think you really have to stick your foot into your franchises.
Yeah.
And you have to make them all feel important. So I think Prey DLC will be announced, but I think a Dishonored 2 DLC will be shown off, and it'll be something like a Burial at Sea for BioShock. Like, it'll be a big piece of DLC, a big chunk, and I think it comes out July.
That soon, really? Yeah.
I think Bethesda's going to be like, we're here to show you things that are coming out soon.
Yeah. I think that makes
like
sense.
Like July, August. It'll be...
Yeah.
Because I want Wolfenstein in September and August, I'll say Dishonored 2 DLC comes out a month before. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of just kind of like the summer, I think Quake Champions will be showcased there. And it's going to have a summer 2017 release date. I think it's going to come out in August.
What is Quake Champions? Is that just the new Quake?
It's like, yeah, it's a new Quake game. New multiplayer game.
Is it multiplayer only?
I mean, all they've shown is multiplayer. I don't know if it has a single player campaign, but that is the one that I think that's the title you want to put there. Cause you, again, you want to avoid the bigger, fall releases. You want to get, I think, in front of Destiny. So you don't have to deal with that. And so you put it out there for a month where it has a dedicated, you build that user base, right? That player base, you start in August, like maybe even August, like the first week of August. I think it'd be perfect for that game. What else are you gonna release it? You're not gonna release it in the fall.
How long have they been working on it?
I mean, it was announced
last year,
I believe.
Then it's pushed to Q1.
You think so? Okay. All those happy dogs barking right now. Because hope everyone is enjoying that. They're excited about Quake.
They're hype about Quake, but yeah, I think it is I think it's like quarter 1.
Quarter 1?
Yeah.
Okay. I can see that too. And so my last prediction, and I think this is the big one, which I think they're gonna go for. I think we're gonna get Fallout 4 VR will be announced. Maybe even Skyrim VR as well. For the PlayStation VR and for like Oculus and all that.
Like a full playable game?
Yep.
No.
That's my risky one.
You know where VR tech is, right?
Hmm?
You know where VR tech is, right?
I know where VR tech is.
Yeah, it's not that capable, I don't think.
But I think that's what they're going to show it. I'm not saying it's going to have a release date. I think this is going to come out like...
Just to say we're working on something.
Working on it, yeah.
I think it's more like Arkham VR, if they do anything. I can see them doing something like, hey, we've got a VR thing.
Yeah.
Let's see. Are there any big characters in Fallout 4 that they could do a little thing around?
I have no idea. Preston Garvey, he's telling me to make a new settlement and some shit like that. Dog meat VR. I just think this is something that's they're going to be working on for a long time, but they want to show you like we're doubling down on VR. Maybe even Doom VR. That'd be fucking crazy. I'd love to see something like that. But they're going to have something VR related at their conference. They have to.
My big thing is Fallout Shelters 2.
They're gonna do Fallout Shelter 2.
No, they're not gonna fucking do that. No,
they might do DLC.
They'll probably
be like an in between type thing.
They'll do something for mobile, I think. Yeah. Like something like mobile VR, like you're saying, because they're trying to branch out. Mm-hmm. But I think every time I think Bethesda, I forget they have a conference because I forget they're like in this space.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I could see like a fun little Doom Runner, in a sense. That'd be kind of cool.
Like a twin stick shooter, kind of
like
a thing.
Well, like maybe a Jetpack Joyride. You ever play one of those?
I haven't. No.
Like a runner where you collect stuff, but it's like kind of like a twitch shooter sort of thing.
Oh yeah.
I can see that.
Okay.
Because Doom is so fast.
Yeah.
And you've got to do something with Doom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just to keep that the brand's hot. Do something, I guess.
Yeah. I think either that or they're going to showcase it with VR. They have to have something VR related. I just believe that is because that's where a lot of their fan base is at the moment. And then we also have the PC gaming show, which you put on there, and I know nothing about that because this is the first time they've come back in a while though, right? And they never had like a kind of a PC gaming conference.
It was 2 years ago.
Okay. 2 years ago? Yeah. Okay. Well, so they took a year off.
They might have.
Okay.
You're about to see that neither of us know very much about PC gaming.
And I just have two like summary responses. I think one thing will definitely happen. A game will crash on stage because it's PC and that always happens. And one of the hosts will make a sarcastic comment about PCs being better than consoles. And those are my predictions. I won't get any points for this either.
My prediction is everything shown at the PC Gamer Show is available on a console.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, no.
And it won't crash.
They'll show off Gwent.
Yes, they will show off Gwent. Which I'm actually like, man, I really love The Witcher. I might check that out sometime. I'm not even a big card game guy.
Hearthstone's fun.
I have heard that. Moving on from that, unless you have any more smart.
No, that's it. Like somebody presenting will wear glasses.
Yes, they definitely will. So we are back to, or no, we're now we're at Ubisoft, and this is hard because so much of their stuff has leaked and been revealed already.
They're really bad at this.
And so some of mine are just like obvious ones. One, Far Cry 5 will be showcased there. We're going to see an extended gameplay segment. We're going to probably have some interactions with the villains of the game. The whole whatever the cult element with that, I think it's pretty cool. So I think that's just like an obvious one. The next Assassin's Creed will be showcased there, and it's going to have a fall 2017 release date.
The weekend before Thanksgiving.
The weekend before Thanksgiving. Yep. That's good. That's good. Before Turkey Day. We're going to get the Rayman Collection for the Switch. That's going to be showcased because I think that was one of the announcements way back when they first showed off the Switch that Rayman Legends would be there. I think Origins will also be included. But I just think that's obvious in the show. Ubisoft has always been one of those third-party publishers that's, for whatever reason, they've continued to support or put out games for Nintendo consoles, even though they never make any money from them, from what I've heard. They've actually had to port their games from their Nintendo into the Xbox and PlayStation 4. That happened with the Zombie U.
Oh, yeah.
Games, was it Zombie or something like
that?
Yeah,
it just became Zombie.
Yeah, so. But I do believe that they're going to just put that title on there. They want to show some Nintendo love.
I forgot about that, but I completely agree.
Yeah. And Ubisoft is going to show off their new sci-fi IP. It's going to be revealed. And it was the sci-fi IP that was teased in Watch Dogs 2, which was like kind of the space kind of faring game. That's what it looked like.
It's funny because all these Ubisoft ones, I'm just like, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah. They're all like really safe bets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this is one where I'm not really sure, actually, because this is based on stuff where they said it probably won't be there. Again, that won't be, but I think that they will have a Beyond Good and Evil 2 teaser.
No,
that was the one. That's why I want to make it interesting.
That's not going to happen. I think something I think is that Mario shows up.
Oh, yeah.
I think Nintendo lets Ubisoft, because that Mario, we'll talk about it, Mario and Rabbids, I think you put that on your Nintendo prediction.
Yeah, I did.
I think it'll show up here.
Oh, yeah, because Rabbids is Ubisoft.
Right? Rabbids is Ubisoft.
Jesus.
And they haven't had Rabbids in forever.
They're like minions.
Something else I think is we'll get another framework game. I can't remember what they call it, UbiArt framework. So either, I don't know how Child of Light played out, so if it deserves a sequel, get a child. No, I mean, I know it did well, like it was critically acclaimed, and especially it looks beautiful.
Yeah,
it is. But I don't know if it, the story, I mean, like Taylor's a sequel. So if it, I think Child of Light, since it gravitated and got with people, same way you said with Unravel, I think if it did, and this is me talking to someone who hasn't played it, I would see a Child of Light 2. If that's not something in the cards, I do see them showcasing something else in that UbiArt framework. Because they did Child of Light and they did Valiant Hearts.
Valiant
Hearts
is really good. Yeah.
And I see them taking the time to showcase them doing something on the side like that again.
You're absolutely right about that. I would watch almost like a spiritual successor, because, you know, our last episode of Spiritual Successors, to Child of Light, where it's that same type of art style. Yeah. It's a, like you said, it's a beautiful look.
And that'll be like a Q1 release of 2018.
Yeah, definitely, because you want to avoid, again, those big titles in the fall.
Yeah.
And then the second-to-last conference will, of course, be Sony. So the one thing I think they're going to start right off the bat with, Spider-Man PS4 will be showcased. It will receive an official title. It won't be called Spider-Man PS4. I don't think it can be. That'd be such a bad title for a game. And it's going to have a 2018 release date. I don't know when in 2018.
I cannot believe you think that.
Yeah.
It's coming out this year.
2018.
It's coming out this year.
No way. It's not coming out this year.
Late October.
No.
Last weekend.
There's no way it's coming out.
Why? Spider-Man comes out this in July.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming out this year.
I would do the comparison. Well, look what happened with the Batman Arkham Asylum. That came out a year after The Dark Knight came out. And they wanted to work on that game, make sure that it was the best. We haven't seen enough of it yet. And I just don't believe... But they didn't really even show gameplay. Like, what they showed us, that couldn't not
have
been gameplay.
That's true. We don't have any gameplay yet.
Like, I really think it's going to... It's definitely, I think, has to come out next year, because then you're going to get all the Avengers movies, right? Avenger...
It'll be summer then.
Yeah.
It'll be summer.
It's summer 2018? So yeah. I think that'll be a fall 2018 game.
No, I don't think it... I don't think they'll... Because what? Infinity War starts in the summer. And Spider-Man's in it.
Yeah.
Comes, I think May next year.
I must go fall, but I can see what I see what you're seeing. Then,
but I'm so fucking hyped for that game. By the way,
I'm very excited.
What do you think it's called?
I would call it web. What was it called? Web of Spider-Man. Because that was
the original. Oh, like Web of Spider-Man.
Yeah, because that was one. It was one of the ongoing series back in the late 80s. Was Web of Spider-Man?
That is so good.
So
I can see it being called that, or something where I don't know, like named after one of the recent sort of thing, like Superior Spider-Man, something like that.
Superior Spider-Man would actually be a really cool title. Yeah. I'd like that.
It would be really great too. Has Peter Parker spoken? Has Peter Parker spoken? I mean,
no, he has not. We don't even know. We don't know like what the plot of the game is. We don't know any of the voice cast yet. So that's why I feel like
that'd be. You know what'd be fucking crazy if that was Doc Ock? Because he looks looks
controversial.
He looks kind of different, and I can just kind of see it being that way.
I don't know. I don't know if you want to do that.
You don't want to do it, but I could see it. Yeah. Superior Spider-Man is a good run. I've read it. It's really good.
I don't
it's ballsy
mind it, but how it started is really fucking dumb. And that's what bothers me about it. Like, it's interesting, but it's like how it starts is dumb.
I think, who do you think's the main villain?
I really just want to talk about Spider-Man now.
So I think one of the enemies that they showcased in that footage originally was like one of the new Spider-Man villains. It was actually created during the Dan Slott run, I believe.
Mr. Who Negative? Did, is it Negative?
Yeah, Mr. Negative. Negative. Because apparently like some of his henchmen are in the trailer.
Oh, okay.
So maybe you might be right. Maybe there's some.
I think a lot of this is going to be based off Dan Slott's recent run.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Dan Slott's doing some really good shit. And I don't know. I follow him on Twitter. I think he's probably mentioned the game a couple times too.
Yeah.
And so I just see him having have had some sort of influence. And
sure, clearly. I mean, one of his villains is in it.
And maybe it's even like, I don't know, like Sinister, like something around the Sinister Six.
See, I don't want that because they've done that in other
Well, the thing games. Is like you have to it's going to be based off like Arkham where you have to fight each of them kind of.
Sure.
But the main one is, in my eyes, Doc Ock.
You think that's going to be the main villain?
Yeah.
I can kind of see that. I'd love to see. I mean, I'm really excited for the game, too. But yeah, I don't believe it's going to come out.
It's going to be a mind versus mind kind of thing. They're going to play into the smarts, I think.
Okay, cool. Cool. So Last of Us Part 2 will definitely be showcased there. And it'll have a 2019 release date.
Yeah, a new trailer.
Yeah, a new trailer. Maybe even some gameplay.
Maybe.
Like I think it's definitely we're definitely going to see a new trailer. We're going to see more of the story, which might contain like you know it's one of those in engine that kind of thing or whatever.
I think we'll get more gameplay than we want for the Lost Legacy, especially because it's coming out like the next month.
You're right,
we'll get more than we need, and then they'll say then Naughty Dog will say something about Last of Us and show a trailer and not mention anything.
You're right about that. I forgot to add in the Lost Legacy.
You got to think about those transitions. These are really good.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That does make a lot of sense. Next, God of War is going to be showcased. I think it's going to have a fall 2017 release date.
March.
Spring?
I think it's March. Mm-hmm. I think March has been really hot.
Yeah.
Especially after this year. And I think Sony will see that, I don't know, Nintendo did really well. And Mass Effect did well. After Horizon Zero Dawn got so much love in late February, is that when it came out?
Yeah.
I think they'll see that as okay, we can put if an unestablished IP can do really well in Q1, why not put God of War, get away from all of this clutter and put it over there?
It's just I'm thinking it's like what's going to be their big game for the fall this year? That's what I keep thinking about. They need
Bloodborne.
There's no way I have Bloodborne on there.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's
it's 2 years old at this point.
Yeah, but I think that's a 3 year game. I can't imagine it would be this year. Like they need one. And the next one I'm going to talk about is definitely not coming out this year, which is Days Gone, which is going to be showcased there. Be another gameplay segment. We're going to get more of the story and it's going to have a spring 2018 release date. I would actually
What's Days Gone?
Days the game that everyone forgets about. It's their new zombie game with Sam Witwer.
No, yeah. I don't know what you're
Remember
talking about.
In last year's E3, they had it where this is a third-person action game. The guy on a motorcycle, he's like fighting against this like wave of zombies, kind of like the World War Z movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. They just kind of showcased that, gave a little teaser trailer like, oh, these are some of the characters you might encounter. But it's a game that everyone forgets about because it blends in of all the other zombie games. I think that's going to be the one title I think that might not do well for them. Because everyone's forgotten about it.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
You can check it. You can check the trailer out later. But I think that will be the spring because they don't want it to be in the fall. Because I think that's too much of a risk for that title. Where I think God of War can.
You're right.
It can handle that.
That's what it'll be. It'll be God of War in that Last Guardian-esque.
It'll be in December.
Yeah, it'll be December. And then Days Gone will be 2018. I had no idea about Days Gone.
Yeah. And then
when's Bloodborne come out then?
Bloodborne 2 will be next summer. Maybe in 2018. Probably 2018. But I can kind of see that. Because when did the Bloodborne came out in March originally?
It'll be May.
So
it'll be May.
Think around there?
I think May.
Yeah. And then of course this is a little funny one. Final Fantasy VII will not be mentioned or shown because that was a huge mistake that they did that year. Showing that game. Not even a game. It was just footage.
Yeah. They're not going to mention it. But they will talk about the DLC stuff for 15. I think they'll get something out there for Final Fantasy. And also, nothing we mentioned is Japanese. And I think there will be some Japanese love out there. You know what I'm going to say, and you know what I'm going to hope for, and I know I'm going to be sad, but I want some Kingdom Hearts 3 footage.
There's no way.
I want a new trailer. And I think it... No, we are going to get a trailer.
Yeah.
Because why else would they release two Kingdom Hearts games, like, nearly back-to-back at the first half of this month? I know it's an anniversary, but still, like, mm-hmm. they're getting people fucking ready.
Yeah.
I
can see a trailer, but it's not...
When was the last time they showed it? 2 years ago?
Yeah.
It was just a trailer?
Mm-hmm. So they can show another trailer, but it's not coming out this year. There's no way it's coming out this year.
Ah, but what if, Chris?
No way.
What if that's the fall game?
I can see 28. No way. That's because it's not exclusive. Kingdom Hearts is going to be coming to the Xbox.
Man.
It's multi-platform. What do you mean, fuck that? It's for everybody.
No, it's
about?
Not for everybody. It's only for Sony PlayStation 4.
No. Actually, I can probably see that on the Switch.
No.
Yeah, why not?
Because I want a PlayStation controller in my hand when I'm playing Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, it's like, well, you can. It'll just be on other platforms.
Is it really multi-platform?
Yeah.
Damn. Summer. I guess. Fuck it.
Summer what? 2018?
It comes out 2018, for sure. We're not getting through 2018 without it. Because then Final Fantasy VII is 2019.
Final Fantasy VII is not 2019.
You don't think so?
Episode 1 is 2019.
Final Fantasy VII, The Phantom Pain. Ground Zeroes comes out 2019.
Yeah, exactly. Death Stranding is... was that one of the predictions?
We'll all be dead.
But that won't come out because that game does not exist yet. with Final Fantasy VII, if they're smart and they actually make the game as it should be, which is a full experience, not episodics, it'd be dumb to split up that story.
Yeah.
It'd be really dumb.
It'll be 2020. But I do think we do see Kingdom Hearts in some form.
Yeah, I can see a trailer, sure. But yeah, it's not releasing this year. And then finally, we have Devolver Digital on here as well.
Which they will go on stage and play the Switch version of Enter the Gungeon for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And it will be the sweetest hour and a half of E3 in all of history.
That's all they got. When's that coming to the Switch? Is it this year?
Yeah.
Okay. So. I'm sure you'll play it on your Switch.
I will probably rebuy it.
But I can borrow your Switch now, right?
Yes.
Can I borrow it? I can play some Mario Kart when I get home.
You can also play ARMS, which is in a public beta this weekend. Missed it last weekend.
I'm all right.
You have to.
Why?
Because I want to play it.
Play Bomb and Ramen Girl.
I want to play ARMS, and I need you to tell me if it's good.
Is it a motion control game?
Apparently, you don't have to use motion controls.
Yeah, I bet.
That's what I heard.
We'll see. They said the same thing about Star Fox, whatever, like Zero, whatever the hell that
game was. I forgot that
existed. All motion control. A lot of people did because it's not good. Then finally moving on to Nintendo, since we're already talking about Nintendo stuff. I think Super Mario Odyssey will be showcased, and this is the thing where I'm thinking, I just don't think they can do it. It can come out this year. I think it's going to have a really, really early 2018 release date. That's a January game.
December 1. Because I think that's the first Friday of the year. Mm-hmm. This is coming out December 1. But I think, and I won't be upset if they push it to March.
Yeah.
But I think it has to come out this fiscal quarter.
You think so?
Yeah. So maybe April. But I think, you know, they showcased it. Oh, dang.
I have one game which I think is going to come out in the fall for Nintendo. Or two.
Oh, wait. Yeah. So that setup works. I think Mario Odyssey... They'll say, sadly, we want to make sure it is, you know, as great as it can be. It is the next 64. It's the next 3D Land because I love 3D Land.
Yeah, the next Galaxy.
Yeah, we just need a little extra time because Zelda got pushed too.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they'll say. It's like, you know, we push it to make sure that it works, even though the game was already done, I believe. They were just waiting for Switch.
Yeah.
They'll just say, you know, like we had that delay for the game in order to make it had the best experience on Switch. We want to do that with Mario Odyssey. So yeah, it's going to come out 2018, but it's going to be the first month of 2018.
Yeah.
So I think,
then they'll go, but you know, we understand that you might feel disappointed.
Yep.
So we've got something for you.
Yeah.
Trailer. And then we see, Super Smash Brothers for Switch.
And that's what I believe. I think, yeah, it's coming out. It's going to be that port and yeah, it's going to have a fall 2017.
But it'll be something like Mario Kart 8, like Deluxe. I think it'll have a couple extra characters.
Oh no, it's gonna have it's gonna have an expanded roster. It's gonna have new levels. Maybe like even new, I don't know, like items in the game. Maybe new kind of abilities for some characters. I can kind of see that. You want to kind of expand this title.
Something like that, or and I didn't write this down necessarily, mm-hmm. but as I said earlier, I think that Nintendo's press conference has to, or their direct,
yeah.
has to outline specifically how online is going to play out.
Yeah.
And I think Smash Bros. Is the one to start that conversation.
I think They should do that, but I don't think they will.
They need to, and they should, but they just won't. And I think you know, maybe Switch will come. Maybe the deluxe version will come with like a voucher for one of the virtual console games to kind of whet your appetite. They'll do something special with the port.
Yeah,
that makes it worth your while to get into.
Oh, there's definitely gonna be like a lot of virtual console stuff, like all these classic games you can get on the Switch. That I think that's definitely gonna be. It wasn't one of my predictions, but I think that's just obvious. Other thing is, I think a Pokemon Switch game will be revealed. No release date, but they're gonna finally say like Pokemon's coming to Switch, whatever form that's gonna take.
The Star. I think the rumor is that it is the Z to Sun and Moon, although Z never got released.
Now,
right? There's no Pokemon Z, right?
No, not. Or you mean X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, there was no Z. There was no third game.
No, but they had Sun and Moon. Remember?
Yeah, I know.
Afterwards, so I mean, do you go back to the older titles or whatever?
No. I was just saying for comparison.
Oh, yeah,
I realized no. They didn't do X and Y. They surprisingly did not do anything with.
They didn't, which is weird.
Like X squared, Y squared. That's so easy.
Yeah.
Or Z. All of that is so easy. But yeah, I think it's called. I think the rumor is that it's called Pokemon Star. Okay. They released somewhat recently.
Because Sun Moon Star.
Sun Moon Star. Yeah. They released somewhat recently, like a poster of all these Pokemon and like. Star forms, like constellations.
Okay.
So I can see it being Pokemon Star and October. I think it doesn't take that much effort
this year. You think it's like done that same 3DS style though?
Yeah, I don't think it's a massive overhaul. I think it's just Sun and Moon just like touched up.
And then I'll skip the next one because that kind of leads into one thing, is that I think they're going to still be showing a ton of 3DS games, and I just think they just shouldn't. They need to kill that.
The funny thing is, to end. Pokemon Star is on both consoles.
That's the thing. That's what I was bringing up. It's like, why do that? You want everyone to get the Switch and say, well, now all your 3DS games can come to the Switch or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. You can digitally buy those games or something like that. Maybe they're not compatible like the cartridges, because I don't think they are. They're not the same type of cartridges, right? On the Switch?
No.
So, yeah.
The ones on the Switch taste like garbage.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, okay. They taste really bad.
Why do you taste? You blow on them. You don't taste them, you freak. I've heard that, like, some other people think, you lick it? It's like, no, you blow on it.
Well, no, like, because all the stories said the Switch's little cartridges taste really bad, so I was curious. They taste really bad.
Oh, my God.
They do. Fact.
Great. Glad you're licking the hardware.
I think there will be more unnecessary 3DS games. I think you're right. But I don't think there will be a ton of them. I think we'll see a lot of, you know, more surprise. More. I think Nintendo will like, hey, the new Mario and Luigi game, it's on Switch.
Fire Emblem.
I think
they have. There's gonna be.
I don't want to say. Well, yeah, because there's Fire Emblem Warriors.
Yeah, which another one.
It's a hack and slash. Yeah.
The Dynasty Warriors crap.
Yeah, but I can't remember. Is it Switch or 3DS?
Oh, I want to say Switch. Maybe it's the Switch.
Yeah. I see. Ooh, I would love an Animal Crossing. There are certain franchises that have been so long from the 3DS that I think they'll naturally put over to the Switch. It seems, but then again, see, this is really hard to predict because Nintendo does dumb stuff.
They do. That's the thing. That's why I'm just reminding myself of that constantly. So,
because I want to say like new Mario and Luigi. Switch.
Yeah.
And new 3DS. Animal Crossing. Yeah, I can see them doing that. I can see them this year being the year of and.
The year of and, yeah.
Mario and Luigi on your Nintendo Switch and 3DS.
Yeah.
New Animal Crossing on your Nintendo Switch and 3DS. Mm-hmm. Although I think Animal Crossing, if Animal Crossing was to come out, it would be Switch only. I don't think they – that one's always been like singularly focused. Mm-hmm. And I think Animal Crossing is sort of a console first mindset. Because that's how what GameCube and then the Wii, I can see them being okay with Animal Crossing Switch only.
Yeah, I think just all of their games just need to be on the Switch at this point.
They do.
It would just make so much sense for them, and it would encourage the 3DS audience. Like, okay, I need to pick up a Switch now because I want to play my 3DS-esque games. They should. Hopefully, they'll be upgraded and be better though. Like those types of games.
Well, they just released the 2DS, and I can see them trying to show some extra love. Or they're about to release the 2DS.
So oh my god, why is that happening? Why? Because they're going to showcase the 2DS there too.
Yeah, they're going to try and get people to still buy it.
That's stupid.
Monster Hunter will get a good chunk of time.
Oh, yeah, that's a good prediction.
Because I think it is on the Switch. Yeah, it has a custom Switch thing and everything.
Yeah. Now, my last prediction would be is that Mario Rabbids game will be officially revealed and it'll have a 2017 release date. That'll be the early
game. That'll be the game that I do not care about.
Yeah, that'll be the game that's like just sent out there to die because no one cares. And it probably will show up at the Ubisoft conference too. Wouldn't be surprised. It'll be at both, I believe.
Yeah, I can see it. It'll have to be at Nintendo, but since Ubisoft's first, I think that's where it gets officially announced, especially because the Rabbids are...
they're dumb.
I can see Nintendo not knowing what to do with the rabbits, knowing how to present them.
No. They have
So they'll just be like, you handle it. I don't know what the fuck those things are.
Yeah, but other than that, I think for the most part, we've nailed like a lot of the stuff that I think is going to be there. I'm pretty excited about it because I'm going to be watching it in the comfort of my own home.
I'm glad it's on the weekend.
And watching those sweaty people all suffer super tight conferences. So, but before we end the show, we got to do plugs.
That's my prediction that we have to do plugs.
We got to do plugs. Are you going to do all that? You're just waiting to say that? You think I was going to forget again, didn't you?
Yeah, I was waiting for you to forget.
Well, you can do the old plug things for our iTunes and SoundCloud and all that because you know about that stuff more than I do.
Yeah, so if you are new to the show for some reason or did not hear – if you did for some reason listen to all last week and did not hear me say that we have our own iTunes feed now, guys. Mm. So we will still continue to be on oneofus.net's iTunes feed for – some time. We want to give you guys an opportunity to migrate from there to here.
And we're still on the site, of course, as well.
yeah, we're still on the site, of course. We just wanted to, make it easier for you guys to, find your video game news right here at We Are Error. So just search We Are Error in your Overcast or your iTunes podcast feed, and we should be there. It's the same logo that you see on the site. Also, we're on SoundCloud, which is our hoster. So, you can also download the SoundCloud app and just listen to We Are Error there as well. Hopefully, and I meant to mention this, that we'll have links to it in the post. That way, you usually go to the post. That's we'll also use the SoundCloud embed player on the post. That way you can kind of navigate there. Also on the SoundCloud, it has our Twitters, which I am at @_JohnRomo on Twitter, Chris.
Mm-hmm. And I'm at Chris J. Herman. And of course, We Are Error, fantastic podcast. One of the best podcasts out there. One of the best video game podcasts. I won't be too bold. Gotta be a little humble sometimes.
Top 30.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's a ton of other great stuff at oneofus.net. We have Digital Noise, our Blu-ray review podcast. We have Somebody Likes It, our music podcast, our wrestling podcast, Thumbtacks and Screwjobs. We have two horror podcasts. Can you believe it? Deliberations of Doom and Screamcast. Of course, we're doing. And then we also have our sports podcast. I forgot what it is.
Inside the Locker.
Inside the Locker. Thank you, John. But of course, we're also doing a ton of subscriber content as well. Doing a lot of movie reviews. Starting to pump that out again. Might have something exciting for all you listeners. Maybe a superhero commentary, something that features a Dark Knight. But as always, guys, really appreciate you listening to us. Please give us feedback and just let us know what your E3 predictions are, because we want to know all your crazy theories and all that good nonsense.
My biggest theory is that Sonic comes up on stage, curls up in a ball, and just dies.
I like that a lot.
Something is coming.